This episode is brought to you by Hyperice, the leader in advanced warm-up and recovery technology. They have tons of innovative products, like Venom-heated wearables to help soothe sore back muscles, Normatec compression boots to speed up recovery and increase circulation, and Hypervolt massage guns to improve mobility. Loved by athletes like Naomi Osaka and Erling Haaland. Try them yourself. Get 10% off your order with the code MOVE at hyperice.com.
Getting engaged is a moment worth cherishing. A one-of-a-kind ring that you design at Blue Nile can help your love sparkle. Just choose your diamond and setting. When you've found the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Finding the right engagement ring can be nerve-wracking. At Blue Nile, you'll have the expert guidance needed and a diamond guarantee that ensures you're getting the highest quality at the best price. Cherish all of life's moments and save up to 30% at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Good afternoon and welcome to this episode of the Full Press Raiders podcast. Well, by the time you hear this, it'll be a few days since the Raiders once again had a national stage and couldn't get it done. They lost. They were blown up by the Kansas City Chiefs. To discuss all of that and to preview the game with the Bengals, we have one of the best content creators on social media when it comes to breaking down football, Ryan Holmes. Good afternoon, Ryan. How are you?
I'm doing good. Glad to be on again.
Hey, doors always open. You know how it is. Now, when you look at the game on Sunday, what were your three biggest takeaways?
Well, the first one, the play of the defense, which is kind of what I expected. If people listen to the podcast last week, I just didn't think they were going to be able to mix up coverages enough with the youth back there. I thought there'd be some blown assignments, which we saw. They actually did a pretty good job early in the game trying to mix coverages, and as the game went on, Kansas City quickly figured out that they were going to stay in cover three on first down most of the time, and ended up throwing the ball on 13 first downs in the first half after that first three and out. Number two, the running game. The Raiders came out. They tried to run the football early. It just didn't work. They couldn't get anything going on the ground against the Chiefs, which is kind of disheartening after seeing them try to run the ball the last 2 weeks and had some success on the ground against the Eagles and the Giants. They just couldn't do anything against Kansas City. And then third is just, you know, the overall play in all three phases. The Raiders just can't play complementary football. The days the defense shows up, the offense doesn't. Special teams is an issue. It has been for a while as far as explosive returns and limiting stuff on the other end. And then this game, no one showed up. The offense didn't show up. The defense didn't show up. The special teams didn't show up. And they got their butt kicked as a result of it.
Now, in the offseason, we talked about, and you actually made the point, you hit on it, that for this team to compete, you have to add more to defense, and then the offense would take a step back. Did you think over the last few weeks the offense would take this significant of a step back?
No, I didn't, and it's quite significant. You know, looking at the numbers this morning, they're converting 36.9% on third down for the season, which is not good at all. It's 23rd in the league. And you'd think with an eighth-year season quarterback, with the receiving weapons, you know, and that includes the games with Henry Ruggs. I'm not cherry-picking 2 weeks. That's for the season. They're 36.9%. With Waller, with Renfro, with Drake, with Jacobs, with Moreau, and obviously the offensive line plays into this, but that's just unacceptable to me. With the talent they have on offense to be basically converting one out of every three third downs, it doesn't matter how good the defense is. They're not going to win games doing that. This offense has failed to register over 16 points in all four of their losses. It's the offense to me is what's letting this team down right now. And there's a million reasons why, and the offensive line is one of them. But there's not teams around the league. A lot of teams have bad offensive lines. A lot of teams don't have speed receivers. A lot of teams don't have defenses that create a lot of turnover. So at some point, the excuses have to stop, and we need to look at this roster. Because going forward, and we can talk about it later on this podcast, I have a lot of questions about this team over the next 3 or 4 years in the AFC West.
Now, you mentioned how in year 8, Derek Carr made a couple of throws or attempted a couple of throws that a veteran should never make. While being hit, he decides to throw it up for grabs and middle of the field. Has he reached his ceiling?
In my opinion, yes. I think he has. I think we saw last year, and then even, you know, earlier in this year, was even with the Ravens game and the win and all that, it was kind of some bad first halves. And this is kind of who he's been. He'll be really good for 3 or 4 games, and then he disappears for 2 or 3 games. And then he'll make some mind-boggling decisions, and then he'll come back for 2 or 3 games and look like a top 5, top 10 quarterback. But it's just the consistency is never there. And granted, against Kansas City, he was – some of those decisions late, the score was kind of out of hand. He was just trying to make plays. He had Jones open on one of those. The one that he threw the interception was mind-boggling because it was against too high, kind of the arm punt there that got picked off. And he threw that up, and there was both safeties were standing there. It's not like he had a guy open and the throw's late. But the second one that he kind of threw up late in the fourth quarter, Bryan Edwards wins on a double move. He's open, and I understand how Carr is just trying to get that bar off. I don't fault him for that one. It kind of fluttered and failed in the middle of the field. But the one he threw into too high, and especially after last week, the pick six, like, you know, he's starting to feel the pressure, I think, of everything around him, and now he's not making great decisions with the football, and that's concerning him. Their third down conversions, by the way, and their 4 losses at 29%. That's not good.
No. You had mentioned the attempt to run the ball. With 8 games left, is it time that Kenyon Drake sees the majority of the carries and Josh Jacobs comes in to spell him? Because at this point, we can't trust Josh Jacobs.
I wouldn't say that. I think Jacobs should still get the majority of the carries. It's just... this is a team that should be running out of 11 personnel and start throwing the ball a little bit more frequently. I don't think this team's good enough to come out and play bully ball on first and second down and think they're going to move people and get into third and manageable at first downs. They need to get first downs on first and second down. This team needs to stop getting into third down and medium because they're showing they just can't convert those. So they need to go back to what they were doing against Denver in Philadelphia, and that's a lot of play action early. Take your shots early. Try to get your chunk plays there because teams are just going to play too high against them, and they're not going to be able to get chunk plays on second and long or third and long. They have to do it on first down. Now, the fact Drake got 2 catches in that game last week when they were down late in the second half, both of those catches came late in the fourth quarter on check down. They need to design stuff for him in the passing game. If you're not going to have, you know, guys that can stretch the field, they need to use Drake a lot more as a pass option, and they just have failed to do that. And to me, this whole thing comes back to, where's Darren Waller? Why can't this team figure out how to use him? They still haven't figured out how to use him in the red zone. He's basically been a non-factor for the last 3 or 4 weeks. I know he had 7 for 92, I think, against the Giants, I want to say, but most of that was late. Like, why can't they get him the ball early? Why can't they create advantages? And part of the reason is when you watch how this offense is built where the outside receivers are running a lot of vertical clear out routes to try to get the one-on-one matchups underneath for Renfro and Waller. But both of those guys are operating the same space on the field. And now teams in Kansas City did a really good job of this. They were playing too high, but they didn't use Mathau as one of the two. He was dropping down as kind of an extra robber defender in the middle of the field. So he was clouding up everything where Renfro and Waller were trying to go, and then you're still doubling the outside receivers. So the Raiders just didn't have a lot going on offensively until the second half when they kind of changed things up and did start trying to take those chunk plays early. But this team's not good enough right now to put together 10, 12, 14 play drives because they're not going to run the ball consistently enough to do it. And then they're having a really hard time converting third downs.
Now, one of the things that you said or you tweeted earlier this week after the game was that there's a lazy wide receiver narrative. You hit on it a little bit during the podcast about how a lot of teams don't have speed receivers and stuff like that. Why do you think that there's so much of an excuse to, or a want or a penchant to build excuses around the offense? And why does it seem like many from certain media, fans, people in general, are wanting to give this team an excuse as far as the wide receiver position?
I don't know. And to me, I think it comes back to, you know, the Raiders have struggled to find a consistent quarterback since the Rich Gannon days. I totally understand that mindset. But at the end of the day, like, the quarterback in year 8 needs to be judged here as well, for right or wrong. And then on the receiving core, this has been an issue with Carr's whole career. It doesn't matter who the receivers were. He had a hard time getting the ball to Amari Cooper at times. Outside of 2016, where Bill Musgrave got him to get the ball outside, he just hasn't done it in any of the other 7 years in his career. And at some point, yes, it is a receiver problem with some of the routes that they're calling for these guys, but it's also a quarterback problem. And I watch football every Sunday. I watch multiple games at once, 4 screens going on. And a lot of quarterbacks give their outside guys chances where they're not creating a ton of separation, but if they get them one-on-one, they throw it up. And usually the athlete on the outside is good enough to make the play, or there's a pass interference, or the ball falls. So there's really a lot of good outcomes. Carr just doesn't do that. You don't see him throwing back the shoulders. You don't see him throwing the ball down the field one-on-one unless guy's got a ton of separation. And the narrative that it, because Henry Ruggs isn't here, this offense can't operate, I don't buy that. When I look around the league, I counted 5 to 7 true, legit speed deep threats like Ruggs was. And it just like the Marquise Browns, Tyreek Hills, you know, Jamar Chase, I guess you can throw into that. Those kind of guys that are going to beat you consistently deep. There's not 32 of those guys sitting around on rosters around the NFL. So plenty of quarterbacks have been successful without that element. My main concern was, and this is without watching the all 22, it's tough to see, this offense is literally built to clear out all that coverage with the outside receivers and then work the middle of the field with choice routes, with lookie routes, with halfback option routes. And teams are taking that away right now. And they're still calling the same plays. Bryan Edwards and Zay Jones are running double moves on the outside. Don't ask me why. These guys are not explosive. They're not sudden. They're not getting in and out of their breaks quick enough to where those plays are effective consistently. They're pretty easy to cover. And they're just not having those guys run routes that suit the type of players they are, how they win on the outside. So it's a combination of everything. And then when Carr does have one-on-one coverage out there, he's just going to have to start throwing the ball out there and help those guys make plays. Because if he's not, teams are just going to double Waller and Renfro whenever they need to and not worry about it. And then now we're looking at the checkdowns. And unfortunately, it's not – I'm not going to blame Carr for that. I'm not going to blame the receivers. It's the design of the offense. And it needs to change. And to use it as a crutch, when the Raiders had a bye week – they could have made some changes, and clearly, you know, the Ruggs incident happened on a Tuesday coming out of the bye, but they need to start changing up some of these route combinations, because if they keep doing it the way they are, Bryan Edwards isn't going to win running double moves on the outside. He's not going to win running, you know, comebacks on the outside, which they don't really call for him, but his stuff needs to work in, inside where he can use his body. The Raiders need to run these guys on slants. They need to run these guys on more dig routes. They need to, you know, get rid of the out and ups and, you know, the double moves. Just have these guys run go routes. And if they don't win up top, throw back shoulders. Why don't we see back shoulder throws in this offense? I see guys covered that can't get separation 20, 30 yards down the field every Sunday, and the quarterback's throwing back shoulders, and these guys are making nice plays on the ball. Where are those in this offense? Because I don't see them.
Now, when we come back from our first break, we got to talk about – we'll get a little bit more into the defense and see what – Ryan saw and kind of see what the path is forward. You are listening to the Full Press Raiders podcast on FPC Radio Network.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
A
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
We are back with the Full Press Raiders podcast. Terrence Biggs, Reynolds. Ryan, when we look at the defense, first we got to start up front. At what point, when you just watch as much football as we do, that someone who leads the league in pressures has drawn only one holding penalty? Max Crosby was held frequently on Sunday. Is it bad? I don't want to say bad officiating, but kind of, yeah. Is it bad officiating or... Like, what more must he do to, you know, not explain the rest, but what more has to happen for him to get a call that is obvious? It was I want to say it was on that fourth and one play where he kicked inside, and you literally see a Chiefs lineman on top of him, like dragging to the ground on top of him.
Yeah, it's... And you know, I actually was going to do a cut-up of all the times he was held. I did put the one clip of the fourth and one where he was clearly held, where he won inside in the B gap, and the guy basically tackled him on a fourth and one that, at minimum, should have been a stop in the backfield and or fourth and 11 with a penalty that didn't get called. And I posted that. I've had like 150,000 views in one day, and it started everyone, a bunch of notification messages on it, one way or the other. So, like, I'm not going to post the other. I cut up at least four where it pretty obviously was held. And I didn't want to start excuses over the refs. But that was a big thing that happened in this game. Early in the first half, you know, there was a third and seven. There was a hold. There was a big play that should have been a third and 17. The fourth and one should have never happened. There was a couple more. And then they finally called one. It's funny, the one they called in the run play where the Raiders got the negative four-yard run was probably the least of the holds during the game of the four or five they didn't call, plus that one. So it's funny that that's the one they picked to call. To me, looking at the film, I saw – the refs are not why they lost this game, but I counted six different occasions where the Chiefs offensive line had an illegal hand to the face against the Raiders defensive line, and none of those got called either. So it was kind of a combination of holding and illegal hands to the face to kind of stop him. And at the end of the day, Patrick Mahomes did a great job in this game of getting rid of the ball in 2.5 seconds. So they just couldn't get there. There wasn't enough time. They took the underneath stuff. He threw the ball underneath to Kelsey. He threw the ball in the flat to the running back. When he had chances to get down the field to Hill on the corner out, he got them. And defensively, I thought the first couple series – you know, was kind of what I was scared of, where I had mentioned that I didn't know if this team was going to be able to mix up their coverages enough without blowing enough assignments, because they just hadn't done it all season. They basically sat in cover three, you know, over 60% of the time. And I was surprised. You know, I turned on the film, first three and out, you know, we're seeing cover one, cover two, two man. There was some cover three, like cover six. Like, he was throwing everything at them early. And then once the Chiefs started to figure it out a little bit, and they figured out pretty quickly on first down it was going to be cover three, they just said, screw it, we're going to throw the ball first down. And then you started seeing them move the ball pretty easily. And the biggest takeaway from this game is the Chiefs, they figured out where is number 35 and where is number 24. Where is Abram and where is Faison? And they just attacked them over and over and over again. And there's nothing the Raiders could really do at that point. They don't really have anyone else that could come in those positions. And this by far was Jonathan Abram's worst game of the year. Run fits was bad. Coverage was bad. You know, bad eyes in the wrong spot, just blowing his zone assignment. So I don't know if he was over-aggressive because he wanted to beat the Chiefs so bad or after what happened last year, but we clearly saw the Jonathan Abram of last year show up in this game that we hadn't seen all season, and that's a problem moving forward if he can't get back under control.
When the Chiefs targeted him, they were 9 for 9 with 2 touchdowns. I want to say 129 yards. When you look at Abram, at this point, the light should be on. Yes, he played better for the early part of the season, but you said it was a regression. Going forward, folks had mentioned, is he a two-down player at this point?
I wouldn't say that. I'd say that the issue you're going to have is he fits the cover three system. Like, he's fine there, but when the Raiders need to get creative and start moving him around the field and going to different coverages, obviously against the better quarterbacks, they need to do that. They can't stay in cover three like you can against Daniel Jones, Jalen Hurts, Teddy Bridgewater. At some point, you're going to have to beat the good quarterbacks in this league. And they tried it early. I mean, they tried to keep him in the box, and they tried the two high with Merrick and Levitt. But Levitt's not any good either. So the Raiders really don't have options there. And then they tried to do a little, you know, cover five slice where they would double team Kelsey and Hill. The issue was they had to bring Merrick down and play him in man coverage because Abram couldn't do it. And he did fine there, but then now your two deep safeties in these two shell looks are Abram and Levitt, and that's not good. So the Raiders need to figure out what they're going to do with the safety position that's going to allow them to have the flexibility, because I don't think Abram at this point, we're in year three, he's getting mossed by running backs 30 yards down the field, which is just unacceptable. He's not good in man coverage. He slipped a lot trying to get in and out of his breaks. You could see clearly the Chiefs knew exactly what they were going to do. I remember the very first, I want to say this is the second drive. I put this clip on Twitter. They come out with Kelsey singled in a 3-by-1, and then you saw Hill motion over. And I believe it's Faison at this point. Faison goes out with Hill, so now they know they're in quarters coverage. They know they're getting cover four. And now you have a one-on-one with Abram, and they just run like an 8-yard out route. Abram falls down, wide open, Travis Kelsey first down. Like, the Chiefs toyed with Gus Bradley. And, you know, honestly, they did it with Greg Olsen too. But there's not a lot they can do personnel-wise when they need to play these kind of defenses. They just need to do it more. These guys need reps. I thought Hobbs held up okay. I thought Merrick was fine. I wish he would have come down with that interception. Obviously, Hayward was all right, but then the issue is those other two guys. And then you have Perryman in the middle of the field, too, who can't cover anyone either. So you have three liabilities out there right now in pass coverage against good teams. They're going to know how to scheme those three guys up. So that's going to be the chess match. How does Gus Bradley make up for those three guys when they're on defense and they need to move guys around? So it's going to be difficult because I still think they're going to play cover three moving forward. That's the base of this defense. That's what they're going to have to do. But what do these guys do on second and long and third and long to get off the field?
Got it. And when I look at the secondary, to your point of Merrick played well. I like the fact that finally, I can't think of the last time that, you know, there was a hopefulness from a Raider safety, like a young Raider safety. Now, when we step out and step back in, we need to discuss the Bengals and how you would attack them. But that will be right after this break. You're listening to the Full Press Raiders podcast on the FPC Radio Network.
Introducing Royal Caribbean's newest ship, Icon of the Seas, the ultimate family vacation. The ultimate 6 slides, 8 neighborhoods, 0 compromise vacation. The ultimate never done that, can't wait to do it vacation. The ultimate chillin' by a different pool every day of the week vacation. This is the Icon of Vacations. Icon of the Seas. Arriving in 2024. Book today. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
We are back with the Full Press Raiders podcast. Terrence Biggs, Ryan Holmes. Ryan, we have the Bengals. Now, this isn't the Bengals team of just being able to walk in, smack them around. This is actually a pretty decent team. What do you see offensively first that if you're Gus Bradley that you should pay attention to?
This is a tough one because the first thing you're going to have to do is stop Joe Mixon. And I know the Raiders haven't been great stopping the run, but they need to get teams into third and long. They're going to have to commit some resources to get Cincinnati in third and long and not just let Joe Mixon run for 100 on the ground, which is going to be tough because you're going to have to figure out what to do on early downs on the outside with Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, and Tyler Boyd. And C.J. Uzomah is a good tight end. So they can take advantage of this line. You know, I think Riley Reiff's going to have his hands full with Crosby. I think they have some matchups on the inside they can win. Clearly, Jonah Williams, to me, at left tackle, you know, he's not in the top half of the league as far as left tackle. So they can win on with the pass rush, but they're not going to do it on third and short. They got to get this team into second and third and long to do that. And to do that, they're going to have to stop the run. And the concerning thing for me with the Raiders is when you're playing cover three on early downs, you have eight guys in the box, and they still can't stop the run. So maybe it's, you know, sub out Quentin Jefferson on early downs. You know, he's been really good against the pass. He hasn't been very good against the run. Maybe, you know, Damian Square gets some snaps next to Hankins on those downs. Maybe see a little bit more Carl Nassib on those downs and see if you can just get some run stops. But they're going to have to mix it up a little bit because this offense is explosive. Joe Burrow is a good quarterback. He's also very mobile. Watching him moving around on third downs can be an issue. You can't let this guy scramble for first downs again. The Raiders are going to have – but to me, the scary part is how are they going to match up on the outside? Jamar Chase is an animal. T. Higgins is big with size that can win 50-50 balls down the field. And Tyler Boyd in the slot's pretty good too. And they're going to have to cover him with linebackers if they're going to play zone. So – this is not a good matchup for the Raiders' defense, in my opinion.
Now, if we switch to the other side of the ball, I want to talk about one particular Bengal, Logan Wilson. He's a guy that I saw out of Wyoming that I was hoping that back when he was draft eligible that the Raiders would look into. He's starting to come into his own as far as being able to be a sound tackler. He has four picks, four fumble. He defends the pass really well. What have you seen from the Bengals defense, especially if we focus on the front seven to start, that how would you attack them and what is their strongest part of that front seven?
The strength of this front seven is getting after the quarterback. You know, they're kind of try-hard guys. You know, Trey Hendrickson, Sam Hubbard on the edges aren't your traditional edge rushers, but both these guys can get after the quarterback, and then Larry Ogunjobi in the middle, pretty good pass rusher. The Raiders are going to, again, to me, the key to this game, I don't think it's running the football necessarily. It's play action on early downs and take your shots then. Because if you get into second and third and long against this team, you're not going to be able to move the ball down the field. Those edge rushers are going to be able to get to the quarterback. Ogunjobi is going to be a problem on the interior. DJ Reader is a good run stuffer. He's the nose tackle, so they're going to have to figure out how to double him and move him in the running game. But then when you look at the backers, you know, Logan Wilson's a good player. Like, he can run sideline to sideline. He's a good tackler. He's really good in coverage. He's going to be able to match up a little bit with Waller, I would think, if they don't use Jesse Bates or bring a safety down. And then the other backer, I want to say they start Jermaine Pratt. He's a guy that can run, I believe, him with the NC State. Not great as far as a coverage guy, but he does have speed, so he can get sideline to sideline. So he's going to be a problem on these outside zones where his speed's going to show up. The Raiders are going to have to come out and play smash mouth football and run it up the middle and then, you know, run a lot more power, but then don't be afraid to mix in play action. But the Raiders can't come into this game and just run the ball in first and 10, run the ball in second and 8 and get into third and 6 because they're just not going to convert enough third down to stay on the field. And the chunk plays won't be there. So, to me, the key is run the ball with power, but also do enough on first down where the Raiders are just going to have to throw the ball on first down when other teams aren't expecting it at this point because they're not holding up in pass coverage either when they have to throw the ball.
Who do you see winning this game and why?
Honestly, I don't think this is a good matchup for the Raiders. This is not the Bengals of normal. I think the Bengals are going to move the ball pretty effectively here. They're coming off a bye. I do like some of the elements of this defense. I think Mike Hilton is a very good nickel, and he's going to match up with Renfrow pretty well. I do like Jesse Bates. The Raiders, where you have to take advantage of the Bengals is the outside corners. Awuzie and Apple, those guys are not good corners, but are the Raiders wide receivers going to be able to win consistently enough against those guys? Because I think we're going to see a lot more double teams on Waller. I think it's a close game. I think the Raiders know their season's on the line here, but honestly, I'm leaning towards the Bengals here. And as much as I want the Raiders to win, trust me, I just don't know if this is a good matchup. And I think the Bengals are going to come out of there by 4 points. I think it's going to be something like 27-23, something like that.
I think it'll be 31-26 Bengals for the simple fact that you hit on the receivers on the outside and Higgins and Chase. Kixie Hayward can cover one, can't cover both. And you mentioned the tight end. Yeah, I just and also concerned.
They got to stop Joe Mixon too.
Exactly.
Mixon might run for 120.
What worries me most are Hendrickson and Hubbard. I don't trust pretty much 2/5 or even 3/5 of the Vegas offensive line. And once Carr starts getting hit, you know what's going to happen. Those throws will either get short-armed or he will throw it sooner than he should, and I see this bad. And this is, like you said, to me, this is a win-or-go-home game. This is the season now. This is the season right at this point. Because 5-5, there are so many teams 5-5, and this is a conference. This is a conference game, so they will lose the tiebreaker head-to-head with the Bengals. They finish with the same record, so no, it's a season right now. Now, how can people interact with you on social media?
They can reach out to me on Twitter. They can, you know, follow me. They can see my weekly breakdowns of different plays from the previous week's game. I like to throw some stat nuggets out there a couple times a week. And then also they can just send me questions if they want to. The handle is at RHOLM22. So it's at RHOLM22.
He is one of the best out there. Ryan Holmes, thank you so much for joining us on this episode of the Full Press Raiders podcast. This has been another episode of the Full Press Raiders podcast. Be good to yourselves. Be good to each other.